Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship Sermon Archive. Our prayer is that you will be abundantly blessed as you listen to this sermon delivered by Pastor Paul Francisco. Join us as we are pointed to the grace found in Jesus Christ alone, as recorded in God's holy word.
This morning, we are going to begin our time in a special letter, a letter to the Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we as elders have decided long before COVID that we would begin the letter of Ephesians, and we will be, you will see myself, Pastor John and Pastor Russ, as we will continue forward working our way through the letter of Ephesians. So let me give you just a quick introduction by way of a letter. And my Bible records these things. It says, the Apostle Paul wrote Ephesians to the churches around Ephesus. We see this in Acts 19. To display the scope of God's eternal plan for all humanity, for Jews and Gentiles alike. This is the mystery of God, hidden for ages, but now made known in Jesus Christ. The first three chapters focus on what Christians should believe, unfolding the glorious riches of God's grace in Christ. Dead sinners are made alive and gain eternal salvation by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. The last three chapters explain the implications of God's grace for the church, for individuals, and for families. This second section comes to a climax with a command to stand with the armor of God against the devil. Paul wrote this letter while in prison, and this was probably in Rome about AD 60. So we just sang, beloved, this song of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But I believe in our day and age, we have a lot of misunderstandings of blessing. Blessed. And beloved, I want to argue this morning that we need to be careful. We need to be careful how we use these terms of blessing or blessed. If we look on social media today, many use this word in social media in conversations, and they associate it with health, wealth, and prosperity. You'll see posts like, God just gave me the money to buy this new car. I am so blessed. I have such a wonderful family. I am blessed. I'm thankful to have won this championship game. I'm blessed. And true, all good and perfect gift comes from God, and they are blessings on our life. But beloved, I want to propose something to you. We are blessed by God if we are a regenerate believer in Christ. But do we merely just associate it with material, health, wealth, and prosperity? Consider these three aspects. What about Christians with COVID-19? They have contracted the virus right now. Are they not blessed? What about Christians who are living in poverty in third world countries? Are they not blessed? What about women who desire so eagerly, them and their husband desire to have children, but she is barren? Is she not blessed? What about our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm thinking about where actually this virus first started and spread to the rest of the world was in the country of China. But if you guys have studied or watched what has been going on for a long time, the Chinese government has really persecuted brothers and sisters for a long time. And in fact, there is a huge movement of the underground church, those who are being faithful to the gospel. But I read stories from Voice of the Martyrs, and I read things online of pastors being arrested, church leaders disappearing, people being hurt and persecuted, interrogated for the sake of the gospel, because they preach the gospel and it's not in one of the approved government churches. Are they not blessed? You see, beloved, in the Old Testament, as we read through it, one of the primary marks of those who are following God came through physical health, wealth, and prosperity blessings of God. That was a way of God separating from the Gentiles, to be a light to the nations, to show that God is a great God. But God's primary purpose was not to show that only if you believe that you would be blessed. In fact, as we turn to the New Testament, the primary mark of Christians is suffering today. Jesus himself said that we are not greater than the Master. And those who have persecuted him, how shall we be free from that? So I want to give you a little context to as we look at our text this morning. Paul typically starts his letters with a greeting and then a prayer of thanksgiving. We can see this in verse 1 and 2. And beloved, this is a great thing for us. As I read from verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, I want to hear you to hear this word. We ought to begin our words towards God and others with prayer and thanksgiving. Paul begins by a blessing of grace and peace to the church. And through whom? The Father and Son, our Lord. And as we work our way through the text in verses 3 through 15, we see this burst out in eulogy. Not just something we do when someone dies. And as we look at this text, we see a long run-on sentence. He just keeps going. If we were to look at the root word of eulogy, in the Greek it says eulogia. This is the classic Greek word for praise. It's actually a speech or writing in praise of a person, persons, or things. So what we will be primarily looking at is verses 3 through 15, but I will take a little bit of time in verse 1 to 2. But before we do that, let me just read the entire text, and then we'll pray once again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Wow. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us through the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So as we look at this text this morning, I want to make three observations. So if you're someone who likes to write things down, write these three things down, these three observations. First, what I want you to see is the source of blessing. Who's God? The source of blessing is God. Second, I want you to see the blessing. What is the blessing? And as you will see quickly, the blessing is Christ. And thirdly, the manifestation of this blessing. What does this blessing look like as it works itself through our lives? So in verse 1 and 2, Paul begins a greeting to the Ephesians. He says these words, to the saints that are faithful. Paul is addressing the church in Ephesus, who we know he loves and cares for. To the saints, grace and peace to you, he says. He pronounces a blessing to them from God through Christ. And we know in Paul's second missionary journey, he goes to Ephesus, where a church is birthed out of. And we can see this in Acts 15, verse 35, all the way through Acts 18 through verse 22. And what we can also see in that text is that Timothy had accompanied him on several occasions to Ephesus. And he remained in Ephesus per Paul's instruction in 1 Timothy 1:3. So this promise and blessing comes to those who are faithful. Did you catch that? To those who are faithful. Do we see our status in Christ, one, as being blessed? Do we see the church as a blessing imparted to us through Christ? Brothers and sisters, during these times of COVID-19, we are prevented from gathering together in person in our building. But I want to remind you, the church is not a building. We as the body are the visible church today. And we partake of the blessing that comes from Christ through the church. Do you yearn for the day that we will meet again, once again in the physical presence with one another? That we can greet one another in love, praise his holy name in song together, hear his word being read and preached, to delight in fellowship of the saints. And then he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. This word bless and blessing is used 3 times right here in verse 3 and 4 times in this text that we're looking at this morning. Our triune God is the sovereign giver of all things, the one who blesses us. He is the giver of all things. He is the creator of all things. And if we look back to the Genesis account, in Genesis 1, verse 31, God says these words. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good, very good. He has given us life, beloved. He sustains us. He has revealed himself to us in his word. He is the one who makes us blessed through Christ. So we see here that God is the source of all blessings. But what is the blessing? We see that at the beginning of verse 3, who has blessed us in Christ. If we take this word blessed and define it, it would mean to be holy or consecrated or those who live with God in heaven. This is only possible through the Son, the Lamb of God, has taken away the sins of the world and has taken the punishment that you and I deserve and has nailed it to a cross and opened his arms with love for us. And through his triumph of victory, through death and resurrection, has purchased for us the rewards of eternal life. This is the blessing. Christ is the blessing. And as we look at verse 4 and 5, God's gift of election and salvation is before the foundation of the world. Wow. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world. the beloved Son, was predestined to take our place and open his arms of love on the cross for you and for me, who have put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. We have done nothing to deserve this. We cannot earn it. It is a gift given by God through Christ and is the ultimate blessing. We are blessed because of Christ. This ought to humble us. This should bring us to a place of humility. And this should lead us to what the end of verse 4 says, to be holy and blameless because of Christ's blessing of salvation. We ought to strive for holiness. Many think that salvation is free. But listen to me. This is not the case. It is not free. It is a gift from God, yes, but it was costly. And it costs the life of the Son of the living God. And in return, it's become our blessing. In the beginning of what we see here, this is done in love. The end of verse 4, it says, in love, he predestined us. In love, he adopted us as sons for the purpose of his will. It's a picture of God's redeeming love for those he has given the gift of election. Saints, do you believe that this morning? Do you know what the fruit of God's redeeming love is? The fruit of God's redeeming love is repentance and belief, because it brings about the salvation of our souls as our cold, dead hearts come alive to Christ through the blessing that's imparted to us through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are blessed to the praise of his glorious grace, verse 6 says. This is a gift from God, undeserving, blessed in the beloved. Do you see that there? To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So how are we blessed? If we look at these verses, verse 4 all the way down to verse 15, we see these four things. First of all, we are blessed in Christ through salvation, because we have been chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. Secondly, we've been blessed as adoption, as sons, to enter into God's family. In verse 7, we see that redemption through his blood has brought about the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. And as we look on down through verses 6 through 15, we see an inheritance, salvation sealed by the Holy Spirit. To the praise of his glory, our blessing is Christ. And we are blessed because we have Christ. Not due to our material health, wealth, and prosperity in this world. Our blessing in Christ is manifested into spiritual blessings. And this is our third observation. So first we heard the source of blessing was God. The blessing is Christ. Now, how do we see this fleshed out as the manifestation of blessing comes to us? And we see there in the end of verse 3, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We are with Christ in the heavenly places if we are in Christ. There's a sense in which God from heaven is blessing us here on earth now through Christ. In another sense, we are now in heaven with Christ if we are in Christ. Yes, that might sound a little strange to you, but we still exist here on earth as Grace Bible Fellowship. But right now, we're experiencing the spiritual blessings of Christ's heavenly realm, because it has been predestined. But before the foundations of the world, our names will appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are in Christ, our advocate, the Son, our brother, our elder brother, our friend. Jesus Christ right now is interceding on our behalf before the Father through the throne of God. And we are now experiencing the spiritual blessings of Christ in the heavenly realm. Think about that for a moment. God, in his sovereignty, has a plan before the foundations of the world to bring about a blessing through his Son. This is the overall storyline of the Bible. God's redeeming love towards a rebellious people. God's redemptive history demonstrates this for us. Let's go back again, once again, to the creation account. Genesis 1, where Adam and Eve, before sin entered, they walked with God. They talked with him. They walked with him in the garden. That's where that hymn comes from. However, Genesis 3, sin entered into the world, and it created a wall. In Christ, that separation is now removed. The already and not yet. We are experiencing now already in the spiritual realm, God's blessings, but we have not seen it fully realized until the second coming of our Lord. Well, once again, we will walk and talk with God and taste and eat of the tree of life. And we are experiencing some aspects of heaven now. In Ephesians 3:10, we are reminded of this, that the manifold wisdom of God is being revealed in the heavenly places through whom? The church, the bride of Christ, who's experiencing the blessing now, is on display, not only in this physical world, but in the heavenly places, before the angels, the angelic beings, and they're looking upon, seeing God's spiritual blessing being manifested through the children of God. The heavenly beings are looking upon and now seeing God's wisdom on displayed in humanity through the church. And the light is being shined upon us, his children that walk in the light as he is in the light. Let me give you a little illustration. Many of us probably have experienced this, but if you haven't, if you go out into the countryside in night, and when it's like pitch black around you, and if you're walking along, it's hard to see, and you're just walking, not knowing what's coming before you. But if you see off in the distance a light, someone turns on a light of their house, it'd be very clear and visible to us. We would be able to be gravitated there. This, beloved, is how God has manifested his blessing of Christ for us through the church. We are to be an illumination to the heavenly realm and the physical world here today. As we walk in darkness, we now become the salt and light of Christ through the Father, by the Spirit. And through Christ, we are being led by the Spirit to walk in the light as he is in the light. The Spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, is illuminating God's blessing on those he has chosen to bless. The adopted children of the living God. And the Holy Spirit displays the manifestation of God's spiritual blessing. And I think we can see a clear argument of this if we turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. You can see it's kind of laid out. Let's begin in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read these words. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not in the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, to whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then the heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is not seen is not hope for those who hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And I could go on reading that glorious chapter. But what I want you to see, beloved, is we are joint heirs with Christ. And we are being led by the Spirit if we are in Christ. And we have been predestined, called, justified, and glorified. So walk in the Spirit. Let's set our minds on the Spirit. Our true blessing is Christ. Our status does not change based on health, wealth, and prosperity. As I mentioned before from James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. In light of this truth, we can know that God's blessing in Christ is manifested through the Spirit in our lives as we walk as children of the living God. So as I summarize these observations, what we saw was the source of blessing. The triune God is the one who brings about the blessing, and it is imparted to us through God. And the blessing is Christ. We are blessed because we have Christ. And the manifestation of that blessing is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. As we walk in the light, we become salt and light to a dark and unseen world. But how do we respond to this reality of truth? As a way of application, first of all, we ought to say we are thankful. We are grateful. Our blessing demonstrates God's love for us. And it can never be taken from us. Never snatched from his hand. Do you believe that? What does this look like in our lives? In our daily walk with the Lord? In light of the COVID-19, this ought to make us ever so thankful for the church in these times. Thankful for the body at Grace Bible Fellowship. We are blessing Christ for the church, his bride that he laid down his life for. We should yearn for the day when we can meet again, face to face once more. Beloved, reach out to one another. We can use our social media, Facebook. We can do Messenger. We can text one another. We can pick up a phone and actually call somebody. We can do Zoom meetings. You know, myself and the elders have been meeting together, having meetings, discussing and praying for you as the flock of Grace Bible Fellowship. The ladies have been meeting together once a week to gather and discuss praises and prayers and pray together. Small groups have been meeting together through like Zoom meetings or talking to one another or delivering meals to their homes. I just want to say that this is only an obstacle, but this is not the end. Yes, we are living in the last days, and we've been living in the last days for the last 2,000 plus years. And we wait in joyful hope of coming of our Lord to once again, from creation to creation, make things right. But now, as we live in these days, we need not to be alone. We should not forsake the gathering, whether that's in the physical presence or in the virtual presence. But we ought to love the brothers, love the sisters in Christ, reach out to one another, pray for one another, love one another. And when the circumstances of life get us down, we need to remember our position is in Christ, and we are blessed. I want to share with you guys, I don't know, maybe some of you guys seen this before, but this is an extreme devotion published by the Voice of the Martyrs. And I used to almost do this just every day, but it brought it back to my heart as we've been experiencing things with the COVID virus. And I mentioned earlier about persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when circumstances of life get down, we need to preach to ourselves the promises of the truths of Romans 8:28. And it is for our sanctification and growing in holiness, but only correctly viewed in verse 29, so that we would look more like Christ, the firstborn amongst many brothers. And I want to share with you a story in North Korea about villagers and when they received extreme persecution that actually led to death. And I just want to read this for you. Earlier that morning, the young girl's mother, their pastor, and 26 others in her North Korean village of Goksan were bound and taken before a screaming crowd of communists. One of the guards ordered Pastor Kim and the other Christians, "Deny Christ or you will die." The words chilled her. How could they ask her to deny Jesus? She knew in her heart he was real. They all quietly refused. Then the communist guard shouted directly at the adult Christians, "Deny Christ or we will hang your children." The young girl looked up at her mother. She gripped her hand, knowing how much her mom loved her. Her mother then leaned down with confidence and peace. She whispered, "Today, my love, I will see you in heaven." And all the children were hanged. The remaining believers were then brought out onto the pavement and forced to lie down in front of a large steamroller. The communists gave them one last chance. "Deny this Jesus or you will be crushed." Christians had already given up their children, but there was no turning back. As the driver started the heavy piece of equipment, the singing from the villagers started softly. "More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. more. It was God's, was it's what God gave when he sent his son. More. It's what Jesus gave when he was crucified. More. It's what believers get simply out of love for Christ. They want to give more to the one who gave so much to them. In a worldly age that values giving only what one must to get by, believers set a new standard. It's a lifestyle without limit. Each day is a path of discovering how to give more love to Jesus Christ. For some believers, this path has led to their death. For others, more love to thee has meant financial sacrifice. What does more love to thee mean to you everyday life, in your everyday life? Beloved, if you're in Christ, this should strike your heart. God's love. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that who would ever believe in him would have eternal life, would not perish and shall have eternal life. It's costly. And it costs the Son of God to spread his arms on the cross in love for you and for me. And when we are experiencing the grace of God in our lives through tangible health, wealth, and prosperity benefits, we need to remember we are not blessed because of these things, but we are blessed because we are in Christ. So in closing, I read God's words to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Skipping on down. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, who is guarantor of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
Praise the Lord that his word is sufficient for our every need. Join us next time as we continue our study of God's infallible word. We would also love to have you join us in person at Grace Bible Fellowship. We meet together each Sunday from 9 a.m. to 9:50 a.m. for Connections Sunday School, and from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our worship service. We're located at 1385 Northwestern Drive on the west side of El Paso, along with our hosting sister church, Misión de Gracia. If you have any questions, you can dial 915-308-1208 or visit our website at www.gracebibleelpaso.org. We would love to see you this Sunday as GBF gathers to proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ.